Some of you have picked up the sheet with the poem on it that Lee wrote, the Christmas card and the scripture. We're using both of those every week for our messages, not all of them every week, and we won't read the whole thing each week. But parts of them are part of our scripture passages for our message each week. And so today I'm reading scripture out of John 1, parts of the scripture, verses 1 to 5, 10 to 15, and 16 to 18, if you want to follow along. In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word, all things came into being, and apart from the Word, nothing came into being that has come into being. In the Word was life. And that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world, and though the world was made through the world didn't recognize it. Though the Word came into its own realm, the Word's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed for a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace and filled with truth. Of this one's fullness, we've all had a share, gift on top of gift. For while the law was given through Moses, the gift and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only begotten, ever at Abba's side, who revealed God to us. A word from our holy scripture. There are millions, no, billions. Actually, there are gazillions of brilliant things in the world. We all know this somewhere deep in our being because we too are brilliant things. Reflections of God and goodness. We know deep in our souls that good and love and life are stronger than evil and hate and death. It is what our faith not only teaches, but we live every single day. We believe in millions, no, gazillions of brilliant things. This Advent, when Lee and I were talking about putting the sermon series together, we decided that we would focus in this season of preparation and waiting on the good, the million brilliant things that give life and meaning to our worlds, to God's world, because we seem to focus these days too much on the negative things. Because for all of the difficult, disheartening things happening in the world, there are millions of small, seemingly insignificant, beautiful moments and things happening in our world. Places where God is constantly showing up in the kind acts and beautiful moments that take place in our lives all of the time. This week I want to highlight the brilliant things we find when we become totally present to God in our lives. God in presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, not presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. God in presence, although God can show up in presence as well. God with us, not when just something good or wonderful or even tragic happens when we turn to God, but in the ordinary, the unexceptional, the everyday moments of our lives. In other words, in all aspects of our life. Can we discover the wonder and brilliance of God in our lives on a daily basis? Lee asks this in her poem, The Christmas Card. She writes, "I wonder. When the tide threatens to overwhelm, if we run back to the dark night, whether the wonder would return, would we find solace in the ordinary? Would we find amazement in the mundane? Would we find promise in the usual? Would we find God in the uncertain? I just wonder." God is always with us. This is what we believe. This is not in question for us. The challenge is to become more attuned to God with us in the ordinary moments of life. And this takes practice. John, in our scripture this morning, wrote that the Word was always in God's presence, and the Word came into the world, was coming into the world, was in the world. And though the world was made through the Word, we don't recognize it often enough. The Word, the light, Christ was and still is in the world. We just find it increasingly hard to recognize it. Recently, I had a Zoom call with somebody who hadn't gotten in touch with me because I actually don't know why exactly this person had gotten in touch with me, but they were writing some kind of thesis or book or something like that, and they wanted to check in with me about our beliefs around certain things, the United Church. And so I kind of put it off for a while. I didn't have a lot of time until one day I said, okay, let's get this done, because they kept asking. And so we set up a Zoom call, and this person, I Zoomed in, and I still wasn't sure what was going on here, but this person kind of, he preached at me for about 15 minutes, and finally I said, did you have a question to ask or something? Were you wanting to know something, or what was the purpose of this call? Yes. I want to know what you think of the signs and, you know, the signs of, that were laid out in the Bible of the coming of Christ, the second coming. And I said, well, just hold on right there. I actually don't believe in a second coming because I believe that Christ never left. Because if Christ left and we are left alone, we're in big trouble. I don't think Christ left. Christ doesn't need to come again. Christ has already come and stayed. That was a new one for him. I don't know why. And he carried on and asked it again. I said, I already gave the answer. I'm not going to change. Christ is still in the world. We just need to learn to recognize it. We have become so distracted and busy, overstimulated and undermotivated, that we completely miss God altogether in our daily lives, hoping that if we attend church or something inspirational or hear some good music occasionally, that this will rejuvenate our love and passion for God. And I'm sorry to say, it doesn't really work that way. We need to recover our sense of God's presence by first wanting it. I want to introduce you to a 17th century monk who became known simply as Brother Lawrence. Now, Brother Lawrence, his given name was Herman, would not have appeared to anyone to be particularly exceptional. He was born to poor peasants in France, and at a young age was forced to join the army so that they could take care of him because his parents couldn't. So he joined the army at a very young age. During this period in the army, Herman had an experience that set him on a very unique spiritual journey. It wasn't a vision exactly, except that he, in one sort of unique event, got some clarity around himself and God. It was in the deep of winter, and Herman was out riding, and when he looked upon a very barren tree. Now, most people would pass by. He saw this very barren tree, stripped of all its leaves and fruit. It was just standing there. And he saw it as waiting patiently and silently for the sure hope that spring would come again. And gazing at that tree in that very moment, whatever his heart was open, he grasped for the first time the extravagance of God's grace and the incredible provision that God has made for all living things. Like the tree, he himself at that time was feeling particularly barren, almost dead. But he believed that God had something in store for him just like that tree. And he believed that the change of seasons was going to bring something new for him in his life, something life-giving. And at that moment, he said, that leafless tree first flashed in upon my soul the fact of God. That barren tree that he saw that day. And that began in him a love for God that never ceased to burn in his life. Sometime later, while he was in the army, an injury forced his retirement. And after a stint as just being a footman, a liveryman to a rich man, he sought a place where he said he could suffer for his failures. That's what he said. So he entered a monastery in Paris, France, where he could dedicate his life to God and to prayer. That was his intention. Now, you would have thought maybe he'd find some position and move up in a position in the monastery. When he went in, he was assigned the lowly position as an assistant in the kitchen, where he was assigned to the tedious chores of cooking and cleaning and doing dishes. That's what he did his whole life in the monastery, did dishes. And he was at the constant bidding of his superiors. And that might have really been the end of his story. He stayed in the kitchen for his whole life. He never published anything. He just worked in the kitchen. However, and this is what makes him unusual, Brother Lawrence begins to develop a practice of devoting his entire life, his whole life and everything he does to God, attempting to seek God in everything he saw and everything he did. He wrote very little. He wrote some letters and he wrote some rules for his life. Not publishing them. An abbot found out about him, though, and came and interviewed him at a certain point because he exuded this spiritual energy that everybody in the monastery realized. He wrote this at one point in his letters, which eventually got published, in fact, as a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. It's a very small book, but it's still a seminal book on the presence of God. He wrote, "People invent means and methods of coming at God's love. They learn rules and set up devices to remind them of that love. And it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet it might be so simple. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of God? Rather than looking for God," he says, "wouldn't it be better if we just did everything for God and in that found God's presence?" For Brother Lawrence, common business, whatever it was, no matter how mundane or routine, was the medium of God's love, just washing dishes. The issue was not the sacredness or worldly status of the task, but just the motivation behind each task he did. He said in his letters, "Nor is it needful that we should have great things to do. We can do little things for God. I turn the cake that is frying in the pan for love of God." For Brother Lawrence, it wasn't about doing or noticing great things. It was doing small things with the awareness that all we do, we can do for the love of God. And this is a way of always being in God's presence, because when you do it for the love of God, you always feel that you're with God. So he wrote this as a prayer. Lord of all pots and pans and things, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. And it did. Writer and speaker Dr. Kenneth Boa said that all of life lived in the presence of God, there's no part of it, nothing too mundane or ordinary, that isn't permeated by God. If this is true, and I believe it is, then our work as Christians isn't to find God, but to become more aware of God in all that we are doing, all that we see, and all that we experience. We don't need to find God. God's here. God's always with us. We just need to become more aware of it. But it takes effort, because it's easier said than done. But it's so worth it. What would it feel like to feel like we are constantly in the presence of God? Amazing, I imagine. But it doesn't happen overnight. Brother Lawrence served in the monastery for 40 years and still felt that he wasn't always aware of God's presence. He was always working at it. So it takes concerted attention and intention. So I have a few suggestions today for how we might do this. You might have some ideas as well. First of all, I'm going to say this. Eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions in our life. We are bombarded with the ever-pervasive presence of TVs, phones, tablets, music, demands on our time, energy, and attention. We are spending so much time in the presence of shiny things that we don't think we have time for God. We have to carve out time, take some time to spend with God. After all, God's always with us. Maybe it's time to realize that we can always be present to God as well. Even take a few moments of the day. Seems a fair trade-off. God always with us, a few moments with God. Not bad. And I don't think that there is anything that we can do in life that will bestow greater blessings than taking that time. Another way that we might be more present to God is to restrict our exposure to the ever-present and ever-pervasive news, which announces day after day, multiple times over, the decidedly not brilliant things in the world. And so what happens when we hear the same news over and over and over and over again, and it seems so dark all of the time? What happens is it seems to dwarf the brilliant things in the world. Yet they don't. And they can't, because all of us experience brilliant things every single day if we are present to them. We only need to hear the news once. Better yet, read it once and turn off the news altogether. Another thing is, if you can't settle your mind just sitting, write to God. Write a note. It focuses you. Or write in a journal. And then listen for God's response, because we will hear it. And finally, start with where you already experience God's presence and do more of it. Wherever you already feel God's presence, do more of that. Whatever practice you have, whatever you've done or see or experience that makes you feel like you're in God's presence, do more of it till it becomes habit. This is what we're going to be writing on our notes today. Where do you see or feel or experience God? In what circumstances do you feel God's presence? Or even in whom do you experience God? What conditions do you best experience God's presence? I'm going to have you write those in a minute. I'm going to give you a few examples of where I find God. I'm going to tell you a story. I didn't tell this at DeWitt, but it just occurred to me. When I first came out here, I was working at a group home, and I made a really good friend there, Rick, because he was my age, and he just started as well. And so we became best buddies, and even traveled back and forth to Ontario together. And Rick, within about 3 years of us working together, came down with AIDS. And at that time in the late 80s, it was pretty much a death sentence, which it was for him then. And I remember one day, Rick was off work, and I remember going over and going for a walk with Rick. And he said, I'm glad I know I'm dying. And I'm like, wow. At that time, we were around 30, probably, age 30. He said, I'm glad I know, because it has made everything in my life brilliant. He said, I see colors more brilliantly. I treasure the moments I have with friends far more. I hear music and it brings me to tears, he said. He experienced all those brilliant things because he knew he was dying. And then he said, and this stuck with me, he said, I know there are people who get to the end of their lives who never see or experience things like I have, because I know I'm dying. That really taught me a lesson to pay more attention to the small things, to the colors in flowers and the people I love and those kinds of things. So some of the things I find God in are tears. My own tears and other people's tears. I find God in beautiful sunrises and sunsets. I find God in good books. Or in good conversations with anybody where you lose track of time because you're having such a great conversation. I find God in others' stories. I find God in babies and children and sometimes in you. I find God in sitting with the dying. I find God when I'm doing something that I know will bring joy to others. So it's your turn now. I've written all of these down, by the way. Write down where, when, how, or even who you're with when you experience God. And write it in a story if you like. We got lots more stickies. If you need them, just put up your hand. We can grab some more. Does anybody missing some? Does everybody have some little purple? And a pen? There should be one in the chairs behind you or in front of you or whatever. There's pens there. So write down where you find God and use as many stickies as you like. Like I said, we have extras. Then stick them on the sheets, the blue sheets on either side of the sanctuary. We are going to eventually collect them and collate them. Go ahead and write those down. Stuff and some stories, even some little stories. Anybody find God? And I was just thinking more as I was sitting there. I didn't have sheets, cuddling their pets, or Charlie or Quentin, or or a good hug. Yeah. We have every day a million brilliant God sightings if we would be present to them, even as if it's getting up and seeing the smile of a loved one or doing something kind for somebody else. Let's join together in our candle lighting